Get Into Gate, episode 247. We're talking Stargate SG-1. Yes, that's right. We're back in the Milky Way galaxy. Yes, that's right. We're all here again. Mitch, Maddie, Brennan, what's doing, boys?
You know, we just kind of believe you whenever you drop those numbers. I don't think anyone's ever fact-checked those. It just occurred to me.
What episode we're at? Yeah.
I just take it for granted. I'm just like, yeah, okay. That must be the number.
Yeah.
Synopsis.
Well, here we are. Oh, the bloody double-parter, guys. Here we are with the bloody quest.
Have you got this one?
Yes, I do. Well, you know what? You keep your MGM one up on Prime.
Park that. We love DVDs here.
You know what?
Physical media.
Hang on. I mean, I haven't looked at the exact date this episode's going up, but I mean, I had to, as part of my radio job, go out to the last remaining video store in the greater Brisbane area. It's closing. You know what it is? My local, mate. The one that I've been going to, I started going to 25 plus years ago.
Video Easy,
not even Video Easy. It was I don't know, like
a mum and pop store.
Kind of. I don't know what it was first, and then it was called Movies for You, and it's called Leading Edge Video, and it still has a sign out the front that is like so molded over and disgusting,
The
lights probably don't work well, and it's like take a movie star home tonight.
Wow.
Leading Edge Video. There is still a slot in the wall that is available for VHSs. Times. You know why? Because they still sell and rent out VHSs. I bought one last week for 50 cents just for nostalgic sake. Thank you. It would have been the same James Bond 1989's License to Kill that I rented back in 97 and 98.
Very pansy was returning.
Hello, sir. Here it is.
Did you rewind it?
Of course I did. Of course I did. never did any Stargate on VHS. Would have been straight to the old DVDs. Maybe like I'm having here. I got to this stage and bought it.
Did they ever do Stargate on VHS? I guess they would have had to.
Maybe in the UK or something. Not the box sets, obviously. But you know how they come out with the series, like three episodes on one VHS, even if it's not seasonally related?
Yeah. That's almost spotlight episodes type thing. Like, hey, this will get you into the show.
Yeah.
Here's one out of season two. There's two from season three.
I feel like maybe the UK might have done the full series.
Part one, SG-1 finds the planet where they believe the Sangreal is located, forced to forge a temporary alliance with Adria, in brackets, Marina Baccarin, as if they need to tell.
Yeah.
And Baal, Cliff Simon, they undertake a quest. Ding! To find it. Part two, though, discovering the frozen body of Merlin, in brackets Matthew Walker, SG-1 works to help him build the Sangreal before Adria, Marina Baccarin, and her Ori army can track them down. Hang on, sorry.
Did I mention Marina Baccarin's in this?
Clearly,
contracted AIDS.
Clearly, I have not read off the back of these, maybe this season.
Ever.
How very dare. I've read off yours a lot. I was about to say for next week's or next SG-1, last SG-1, Mitchell, in brackets, Ben Browder.
Oh.
Come on, guys. He's one of the leads of the show. Anyway.
Do you mean the Marina Baccarin and Ben Browder in this? And I've bought the DVD. How lucky am I?
There's only seven pictures of them on this particular case. And I got it out of a box set where they're on the bloody front.
Fuck me.
And there was
I'm so glad I read that.
There was a poster outside Easy DVD. Hell. Just having a laugh at this point.
Yeah. I'd like to revoke my support for physical media at this point.
Yeah. Do you want to read the Prime one now?
No. Yeah, as long as they don't have the brackets in there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, they have the pop-up on the side.
Of course. Yeah. What are the X-ray on Amazon?
Yeah, something like that.
I love the X-ray. It's good. It's so helpful. I mean, I don't often go into it, but I'm like, I know it's there if I need it.
I'm already on IMDb. If it's a show I like and I'm watching it, I'm already on IMDb on my phone.
I would hate looking at the X-ray on the screen that would be covering up the very show that I'm watching.
Yeah, that's the problem I have.
Bezos fixed
it. Does pause it.
Yeah, right.
But the shows how much more annoying thing I think I've already said is that you pause it to go to the shitter and then it shows you a character who already died and now they're back in the scene and you haven't seen it yet.
Yeah.
Come on, Bezos. Fix that. Fix spoilers.
I ruined a show or an episode for myself the other day watching literally a post-credit thing. Not even revealed a character, like debuted a character, but I was looking up a character name for someone who had already appeared in the episode. I'm like, oh, what's their name? I can't quite, you know, and it was like right next to them was someone who hadn't yet appeared in the episode. I'm like, couldn't you just not credit them for that episode? Like, they're barely in it. They're there for 4 seconds. Why would you do that to me? Anyway, bloody quest.
Piece of
go. Shit. Yeah, I you know, I've been talking a lot about seasons 9 and 10 as we've gone on. I feel like even though I only remember watching these seasons once back in the day, I remembered a lot more about season 9 in this rewatch. I'm like, it feels a little bit more familiar. There is so much about season 10 that is so new to me. Mm. And across both of these, there is shit that's like going on that I'm like, all of a sudden Daniel's sitting there with fucking telekinetic powers and he's got the memories of fucking Merle. I'm like, you could have given this to me and said, these are the two missing episodes of Stargate SG-1 that were never released, and I would have absolutely believed
this didn't feel familiar to you at all.
Well, no. Don't forget, we've been doing this podcast for like 9 years. Yeah. Well, and then I haven't seen
anything.
I stopped watching Stargate regularly.
Yeah.
Just to follow on our continuation.
Yeah. Well, you know what?
So I haven't seen this for at least 10 years.
Yeah. Well, the one thing that did seem somewhat familiar to me was the maze getting, before they even reached Baal, stepping through the frozen little section.
There's
some
really cool old Stargate SG-1 in this episode. So many episodes like it.
The reason I thought it might have been familiar to the both of you is according to the trivia for this episode, and I would normally get a that's one for this.
Oh, okay.
But it's probably a that's one for you guys.
Hmm. Yeah, I feel like you just
someone's decided to add here as the trivia for this episode. And I quote,
I feel like you did this last week.
The plot for this episode is similar to that of J.R.R. Tolkien's novel The Hobbit, in that a group of adventurers attempt to find a treasure located in a solitary mountain guarded by a dragon.
Yeah, I actually wrote that down. We were going to laugh about it.
And we laughed. That's a stretch.
Yeah, like a little bit, yeah. But I felt that it was weird. You press play, you know that it's quest part. Does it say part one?
No, and apparently there was some much debate in the writer's room about whether it needed to be the quest part one and then the quest part two, or the quest and the quest part two.
Yeah.
And a lot of people argued, well, you can't have the quest part two if you don't have the quest part one.
I think I kind of, I forget which movie did that a couple of years ago where it played out and then only at the end it was like, I don't want to say June, but just because like there's part two out at the moment. Yeah. It was something like that. You're watching a movie.
The Tok'ra did and then that? The Tok'ra part one or part two?
Oh, I feel like I almost can't remember another. They had part one at the start of this. Is that what you're saying? They thought about not doing it, but they ended up doing it because they had part two?
Yeah, I think it was just a discussion.
Yeah. I was going to say, even reading that, but obviously pressing play and knowing that I was watching a part one, because of the pacing, and it didn't feel like, hey, we've got two parts, let's really take some breathing time. I didn't feel like the first episode was wasted. It felt old school SG-1. It felt well paced and like a story well. They went from little quest bit to different quest bit, and then they get there and they have to come up with some different answers. And Adria shows up. She's revealed there, and then she has to help them do things. And I'm like, I still didn't feel like, I feel like we could have got to this bit a little bit faster, guys. I feel like we could have got, by the end of part two, I'm not like, Jesus Christ, this feels like it should have been wrapped up 15 minutes into the second episode. I didn't feel like they stretched it out. I felt like this was earned, and I felt, and I'm only saying this because it does feel like new episodes to me, I felt like it was that old school SG-1 feel, especially in the first episode, and it was in the second, but it started to get taken over because there was so much more Merlin stuff to it and Ori to it and ancient season 9 and 10 ancient to it. So it felt very late Stargate SG-1, but the narrative and the way that it was told in the first episode felt very much like an old school individual singular SG-1 episode. And I think, but together I really liked that.
The part of this episode that felt the most like early SG-1 to me was that god awful CGI dragon.
Oh yeah, and then they came running out of the cave, and did you see that CGI where it was just green?
Rough.
Oh, bro.
Yeah.
I mean, it wasn't the worst I've ever seen, and for that time, what was the year? 2006. Yeah. I mean,
that's 11 years after Jurassic Park.
Yeah, and I guess
13.
Oh, that's where I always think it's 95. It's
And it's such a great gold standard to go back to a 93. Yeah. I mean, you look at it now and you're like, okay, yeah, mate, but still, for that time.
This is several because years after the basilisk of Harry Potter as well.
Don't forget, though, that's true. But the thing is, they didn't have that technology, or they used to use different rendering for TV than they did with movies.
Oh, yeah, it was budget. It was all come down to how much you can afford. Like,
yeah, so the TV budgets were never as big as the movie.
Oh,
so
God, no.
That's what I mean. Comparing it to a movie is probably not fair on the episode.
Yeah. Mm.
But I feel like,
but also
comparing it to another TV
show, no one forced them to put a giant CGI dragon in two episodes of a television show when they couldn't afford it.
Especially the entire dragon.
And in daylight too. Like they could have probably hit a lot of
grass,
scenes.
Frolicking through grass that doesn't move when it runs through it.
Yeah.
Who wrote and directed these ones? I didn't write that.
Joe and Paul. And
both of them?
Andy Makeda, yep.
And Andy
I believe
Makeda.
Joe wrote part one and Paul wrote part two from memory of the commentary.
Hmm.
And Andy Makeda. I think Andy Makeda is a sick,
Andy Makeda did both.
Sick puppy. After the start of part two when the dragon comes out of the out of the mountain. And then they do this crazy crane shot. And the only thing the shot does is show you Marina Baccarin's tits.
Oh. Yeah, right. Oh, right. When they're all standing there. Look, yeah, okay. Yeah. I don't remember seeing that, but I know the shot you're talking about. No, I was watching on my laptop. Well, it wasn't big enough.
I will give Andy Makeda infinite leeway because there was one sheer genius thing that he wanted to do that would have affected the series.
Oh, gone under her dress.
No, moving forward that everyone else chickened out on.
Rob had Rob Cooper had come down to the set and asked if I could shoot a new pass through. Rick was in town, Richard Dean Anderson, and that was actually quite a funny thing. Was Rick was basically sitting with me at the monitor with a little tear in his eye, thinking that I should be in there. And I at one point was and almost had him convinced to do it. I was going to actually have him in the control room,
right,
just very subtly in the background for the shot, bringing Claudia in. But we ended
decided against it.
Would have been bad.
So we've spoken about it a few times. As the episode was Memento Mori, where Vala officially joins SG-1, and they changed the opening credits to that bit where she runs in to catch up with the team.
Mm.
Andy Makeda shot that during filming for this episode, in which Richard D'Anderson happened to be on set visiting.
No way.
And his idea was, in the far, far background, in the control room where Walter sits, he was going to have O'Neill sitting there.
Nice.
In the opening credits. O'Neill could have been in the opening credits for the rest of the show. And they all fucking chickened out.
No, why?
No. I don't know. It would have been so good.
But that would make sense because as a new member of SG-1, it could have been off camera. You didn't have to write a scene. It's like, oh, O'Neill was there. Cool.
Yeah.
That's fucking cool.
Yeah, and he would have been in the opening credits for every episode for the rest of the series.
That sucks.
I feel like, and unless you guys are going to mention it otherwise, there was almost an O'Neill cameo in this. This is not ever made something. I was obviously listening to it. I had headphones on. I wasn't just listening to the speakers coming out of my laptop. So I
Shout
felt like
to
I.
Three Star Cacon.
Absolutely. I'm immersing myself. Ever since I watched Dune on an actual giant screen TV with headphones, and I've just been listening to everything with headphones, and I'm like, oh my God, I've actually really got to pay attention to the sound. I'm going to play this bit. It's towards the end of the episode. And it's a line. I don't know which character actually says it, but it's almost not even loud enough to really. It's not like they didn't mean for you to actually pay attention to it. You hear that?
There was that?
Oh, for crying out loud.
Oh, really?
Someone mutters that in the background as they're running
through.
Oh,
that was Ben Browder.
Wow.
Right. And I just thought, what a wonderful addition.
Yeah. Oh, that's incredible.
Yeah, I did notice that. I was like, that's awesome.
I was like a meerkat when that happened. I was just just watching.
I laughed because I'm like, Maddie wouldn't pick that up.
No, not in a million years.
Because never even knew that was a thing.
No, I spotted the other potential O'Neill cameo, which leads us into a little bit of a fan theory that I discovered. So when we encounter Baal and he is trapped in the force field, and they realize, to get out of this, everyone has to give something up.
Yeah.
Baal, the only thing he has on him, he has to give up a dagger. And he says, that has incredible sentimental value to me. That is the dagger from Abyss that he tortured O'Neill
with. Is it the dropping in the gravity field thing?
The gravity field one that he was stabbing O'Neill with.
Oh.
That's the dagger.
Mm. But wasn't he dropping heaps of them on him?
Yeah, but obviously he kept one of them or whatever. You know, he was dropping one in poison and dropping it.
Is that the very dagger? I thought
the one that had the most blood on
jagged.
Well, we don't see the blade in this. We just see it in a sheath. We just see the handle in the sheath. True. And people have confirmed that it's the right handle.
Really?
Which then leads into the fan theory that you go, you've poked a hole in it, which is fantastic, that there's multiple daggers.
I thought there was.
Because the fan theory is, well, if there's only one dagger that exists, then the real Baal must be the one in possession of it, because back when O'Neill was tortured in Abyss, there was only one Baal.
Yeah.
So the fan theory being, and this the Baal at the end of this episode isn't killed. So the theory at the end of this is this is the real Baal.
Which I just assumed because they didn't show any other clones. I'm like, yeah. I'm just going to assume this is the real Baal.
Yeah. And it seemed like a very important thing too, like to be trying to find the same Baal. Because
I thought they were going to take his muesli bar off him. Yeah. That's what I thought. I wanted this. And then why the f*** does a gold need a f***ing...
Yeah.
Protein bar.
I kind of found that at the end where they
were... Oh, because he was hungry because he'd been stuck in there for a couple of days.
Three days.
It does seem weird, yeah. But they also...
But then no flange either?
No flange the entire double episode.
Outrageous.
And I feel they nerfed him a bit too, because if you remember back in, you know, the early seasons, Apophis could backhand Teal'c and he'd go flying across the room. Teal'c manhandled Baal in this.
Yeah.
Multiple times. At the start when they searched him for the dagger. Yeah,
but Apophis needed the hand device. He couldn't just whip him.
Well, I don't know. I feel like, you know, we've seen Gua'uld be incredibly strong. Like Carter when she was taken over by Toker.
They seem to
were knocking
do
people,
that willingly.
You know, very early, like seasons 1, 2, and 3.
Yeah, I feel
like they leaned into the Gua'uld having super strength.
Yeah.
And have very much dialed back on that. And the fact that Baal was just a dude. He was just a dude in a leather jacket.
I'm just a dude.
you say that like he got manhandled a bit. I feel like Baal's always had a little bit more patience. Like Apophis was very much like he's playing
the long game.
Yeah.
Apophis is like, respect me now. I've got the power and I already am the biggest and the baddest Gould out there. Whereas Baal's always like, willing to play the long game. So like the idea that, I'm going to let him manhandle me.
Yeah.
And to thinking that they've got some kind of control because I'm outnumbered or whatever.
Yeah. I think he would also find it amusing. Like Apophis would be like, how dare you stand up to my authority.
Yeah.
Whereas Baal just kind of, he finds it amusing. He's playing with kittens. From his point of view, he's playing with kittens, you know? So he's just like, you're adorable. You're trying to be tough.
Even when he throws it out in the, midway through the second episode and Carter's trying to figure some shit out, he's like, the fact that they would give this to a Tauri woman. He's like, oh, shit. You're getting speciesist. You're getting sexist. And then she's like, sorry, I can't work this out because I'm human or because I'm a woman.
I thought we were going to get some reproductive organs on the inside.
And then he's still dumb and goes, maybe a little bit of both.
Yeah.
Like,
you just need the audio of Abe Simpson. Little from column A, little from column B. Heeper. Yeah. I did find something interesting, though. Once we meet Merlin and he makes like a Guinevere comment about Carter or whatever.
Does look like a Guinevere.
And then Daniel kind of doubles it up and goes, Percival and Galahad and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, shut up.
Shut up, Daniel.
Well, no, I just had a game that's like, so if Carter is Guinevere, Daniel's Galahad, Cameron's Percival, does that make O'Neill Arthur?
Yeah.
Or does it make him Lancelot? Because Guinevere married Arthur, but she was in love with Lancelot and ran away with Lancelot.
Yep.
So who does that make Arthur then?
Who's Arthur?
King Arthur.
Tard.
Arthur Shelby.
King Hammond.
Hammond. Yeah, that works.
Yes.
And obviously not Teal'c because he's black and you can't have black people in.
No.
Not at that time.
At that time?
Only if you're Morgan Freeman in that Robin Hood movie.
Robin Hood. You know what? That's exactly what was going through my head. I remember I feel like we watched that in school or at least referenced it when we were talking about, you know, medieval times and blah, blah, blah. And the teacher showing us a section from that film and then she paused it to go, now, not verbatim, I'm not quoting it, but it was basically like, now, black people and white people really wouldn't have gotten along like this back then. But, it was basically to say, look, don't just go, he's a nice rich white guy that just felt sorry for the black guy that helped him in jail. Okay, yeah, he's going to keep him around, not as a slave, but as an equal friend.
Is that Shawshank Redemption?
Okay, I was just like, miss, just press play.
This is really making me understand why you guys didn't know what carob was.
Because we were too busy learning about racism.
No, it's too dark of a chocolate, that's why.
You guys only got
Milky Bars.
Milky Bar.
You got the full history of the Milky Bar Kid at
Milky
your
Bar
school.
Kid. Milky, I was a Milky Bar Kid.
Milky Way. Oh, black on the inside, as long as you're white on the inside, obviously. As long as you act white. I'm just trying to out Brendan here.
Whatever.
That's what I was doing.
Twix face looking motherfucker.
I would like to make a stand right now for anyone listening who wants to get in our comments and start that stupid fucking discourse about a dragon versus a wyvern.
A what?
You can all get fucked. Are you trying to say wyvern?
I don't know.
Is this a carob situation?
Oh my God. You guys fucking don't know anything.
What are you trying to say?
Okay. There is a subsect of dragon.
Oh, we don't know something? How about you tell me something? Yeah, where was right. Gondor when the Westfold fell?
God,
mate?
Yeah. I've always wondered.
Tell us that, know it all, Matt.
He's feeding some giant fucking eagles.
Rolling in the river, that's where he is.
Slurping on some fucking cherry tomatoes. I don't know.
I'm not saying this is not. Wyvern. I don't know.
Brendan, is that like a witch thing?
No, it's a.
That's an oven.
It's a all roosters are chickens, but not all chickens are roosters situation.
Okay. Yeah.
So there's a whole subsect of the internet and dragon girls that are. So the dragons from Game of Thrones.
Yeah.
Hmm.
They're not technically dragons, they're wyverns. So technically a dragon has four legs and two wings, but a wyvern has two legs and then two winged arms. You can all shut the fuck up.
I mean,
nobody
there is
cares.
You can't say an elf is the same as a dwarf. That's racist.
Try me.
So.
Try me.
Well.
In 2024, you're going to say I can't make a movie called Snow White and the Seven Elves?
No, they should do that.
And cast all people over 6 foot tall.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's a bit like the Christmas Civil War, where before Santa really had his people, it was the elves versus the dwarves.
Yeah, Futurama. Santa goes to war with the elves.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and they're from
that'll,
Neptune.
That'll get me watching.
And they're all gay and have four hands.
That makes sense. Legolas, isn't it?
Yeah.
Legolas.
Oh, my God. Did you see that meme the other day? The interview with
I know which one. Hang
what's
on.
The guy who played Legolas?
Orlando Bloom. Yeah. Mr.
Doing,
Katy Perry.
He's doing an interview. I think it might have been during COVID, but he was doing like a Zoom interview with like Jimmy Kimmel or whatever. And he was, you know, in his study or whatever. And behind him was a full wall of Lego. Like he had all these like Lego constructions. And someone said, "Oh no, wouldn't it be terrible if someone robbed him because then he'd be Legoless."
I don't mind that.
That's pretty good.
Nice.
That's not bad.
That's as close. That's as close to like Lord of the Rings shit as I'll get.
I mean, he's really set. He's setting himself up for that sort of gap. Like,
well, he's.
I'm going to put this in.
He's probably
the background.
Spent so much, and he's like, "Why did I do?"
He's
this?
Like, "I've
and
got a 9 foot dick. I don't care."
I'm going to try what?
9 foot dick.
You didn't see that?
No.
You didn't see the pap snap him like.
When he was
paddleboarding naked when he was dating Katy Perry, just casting like a 9 foot cock shadow.
You stand up paddleboarding, yeah, and he was just he had that elvish thing.
Like
well,
a like
I guess
a third,
that's why he's a shit actor.
Like a third forearm.
Need to be.
Doesn't
yeah.
need to be great actor. Doesn't need it. He's fucking handsome.
Hey, you know what the Oscars this year tells us? Cillian Murphy, tiny penis, great actor. Hey? Orlando Bloom doesn't need to.
Doesn't need it.
So yeah, dragon girls, shut the fuck up. That's all I'm gonna say.
Oh my God, is this gonna be another Swiftie issue?
Maybe. Come at me.
Oh dear.
Hang on.
I think you're finding a smaller niche, aren't you, to pick on?
I believe in comedy terms that's known as punching down.
Yeah. That's how we like it. Good stuff.
Hey, remember Stargate?
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm. Does this episode posit the idea that Vala...
What's posit? Mitch?
Do you mean like deposit?
Does your school offer refunds?
That's what I've been
asking. I think it has come up occasionally.
I think your parents are owed a rebate.
It has come up.
It has come up.
Your parents are owed a rebate of some kind.
And it was like, we didn't pay a lot to go to school, but even then I feel like the value to results wasn't, you know, there was no equilibrium there.
Yeah.
Probably the opposite.
How does the term theorize? You prefer theorize?
I forgot what you were saying, Matt.
Does this episode insinuate that Vala has the ATA gene? Because
really?
When she walked past the little head grabber thing, it activated in her presence.
Oh. But yeah, well, that wasn't confirmed. Apart from Tilk.
Hence why I said theorize, but then I had to dumb it down.
What did you say prior?
I started with posit.
Deposit.
Which is, a different tense.
I would deposit that.
Into Vala.
Tilk No, Tilk? Because she's white. Because Tilk, remember in the Cooper one? Fifth race?
Yeah.
Tilk looked in there and it was just black. Then O'Neill looked in there, white. Racist. Ancients are racist.
Well, yeah, we've always known that. Yeah. But Vala's white, and that's why it activates. So you're saying it's activated because she's white, not because she has the ATA gene.
Yeah.
Because there's no black ancients.
There's no black ancients. It's actually sad.
I was trying to think. So in Atlantis,
like,
where
I
they
was
had
thinking
the ship
what Amazon could do to make Stargate great again, black.
Obviously make it woke. Yeah.
Make it woke again.
Like the X-Men.
Yeah.
Yeah,
X-Men. A stinking X-Men.
Yeah.
Right? Trying to be progressive all of a sudden.
Yeah. Actually, if Stargate was made now, I think you could make a solid case that the ancients, like Ascended Ancients, could be they thems.
Well, do we need to, though?
They would
have.
That's
that's like, who cares what they they can anything because they're not physical beings.
Which would make them a they. Well, technically, God is a they them, but don't tell the Christians that because they'll freak the fuck out.
Mm. Yeah. I was watching. Yeah,
if God made us in His image, He must have both a penis and vagina, which would make Him a they them.
Don't you dare use their logic against them, Matthew. Mm. Wow,
that's a hermaphrodite.
Yeah, that can go by they them.
No.
Yeah.
Pick one.
How dare you? In 2024, think
one.
Someone needs to pick their gender.
Can pick one.
How
weak.
Dare? Well, he's God. He probably has. It's like an innie and an outie. He's like innie, outie, innie, outie. He can go from
girly
one to the other.
Straight.
Girly,
girly
straight.
Girly straight.
See? Yours was good. His was better.
I feel like they missed something kind of important here. Or they just skimmed over it.
Mm.
It could have been like a great Stargate-y moment, kind of meaning of life stuff, and I'll tell you why.
Mm.
They're trying to find the Sangreal, which we all know. Mm-hmm. The planets were given by Morgan Le Fay, which I remember you saying you had an issue with that because the planets that Morgan gave them did nothing.
Yes, it was Sahal, Castiana, and Vagan Bray, which then combined with the Camelot planet created a three-sided pyramid, at the center of which was this planet.
Yeah, so the thing is that kind of throws me off is that, like, have they've had this, Daniel said it's a perfect tetrahedron.
Mm-hmm.
A perfect pyramid.
Yeah. Three-sided. Yeah.
How? That would be f***ing difficult.
Especially with Stellar Drift. When you think about our Stargate.
Yeah, that's what I was
thinking.
My very first thought was
because
like.
Because I was like, Sangreal, center of the universe. Like, they kind of touch on it in universe in one episode. But it sounds like the ancients created all of those planets. If you read into it deep enough.
I think they would have had to have created this planet. I think Merlin does say at the end he posited or deposited people on these planets. Because if you think about it, this planet that they've been on is with this Camelot level of technology has been around for thousands of years. They read ancient. They have a library full of ancient books. The barmaid says people have been seeking the Sangreal for thousands of years. They've been untouched by the Gua'uld, so they can't be on the cartouche, so they've got to be separated from that. Yet they're still living in a medieval
society.
They haven't progressed at any point.
Yeah.
Which I think feels disingenuous to Stargate. I mean, you could argue, like, you go back to Red Sky, those people were on, like, an Asgard-protected planet, and they were still living like pilgrims.
Yeah, but that's a bit more advanced.
Yeah, it's like, if you think about this, this society has been stagnant for thousands of years and hasn't invented technology.
Yeah, and they're still banging on about f***ing Merlin. That book's boring.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, that was obviously his kink. Like, once, you know, Daniel took his memories on, he's like, oh, I remember this and the technology and blah, 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 and all the different medieval cultures he started across the galaxy. And I'm like, he's just like, no, this is perfect. Either this is what I love, or these people and this kind of level society is going to be dumb enough to just talk about
these people
forever.
These people, like, you know, their ass cracks are just wet, wet mud. You know what I mean? Like, that place
dirty
must
buggers.
Stink.
Shower? What?
Stink? What? Running water? What? No.
Gross.
He'd be
purity.
He'd be stinky.
Yeah.
Merlin.
Oof.
Rough.
Just the dick cheese alone.
Do we reckon that was his OG body? Like, the fact that, like...
Yeah.
Yeah?
That's the same actor from Before I Sleep.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
So that's Moros. That's
okay.
That literal body left Atlantis 10,000 years ago and came
right.
Earth. Same actor.
That. I was just he was
on your DVD, Matthew, whatever his name is.
Don't you think it's kind of weird that Daniel wouldn't have heard about Weir's kind of journey? The ancient, before the old sleep. Weird.
Oh, yeah. God, you would have thought he would be reading that cover to cover.
No one knows that story because old weird died. So it was only what she was able to tell.
Yeah, but that's what I mean. Like, wouldn't Daniel be like, do you know... Did you remember seeing like a human?
No, because I feel like when he went,
that was
when
now.
When he went to the remember though when he went to the Pegasus Project, he was swiping through the Pegasus Facebook.
Yeah,
and you know, and Moros would have been in there, and obviously they already know Moros from his hologram in Avalon back in the start of season 9. Again, same actor Matthew Walker. Yeah, so I'm sure. And he knew back then that his name was Moros, also Mirrodin, also Merlin.
Yeah.
But so I don't think it would be anything interesting to Daniel.
That Weir met him.
But not that Weir. It's an old dead Weir that he can't talk to. The Weir that we know never met him. It was the dead Weir from
what I'm saying is he would have found the report fascinating and asked him about it. It's the exact dude from 10,000 years ago met Dr. Weir, the person who was in charge of the SGC. It's pretty cool. He's just like, you know
this
what?
This is the most positive thing you had to say about Weir Sam ever. Growl. So, I don't know. I mean,
talking about Daniel and Merlin.
I mean, I don't know. Like, I mean, Reese and I both worked at Brisbane Traffic.
And you talked about the key in the cage.
You still got
the key, so that's what I mean.
Like, if I ran into someone that I worked with over 10 years ago at that place, I'm not going to be like, oh, how was Reese when he worked there? How good was that? Absolutely not.
I don't get the connection.
Well,
if Reese traveled back 10,000 years,
even 10,
then I would be like, then you might, you know, the guy that traveled back 10,000 years.
Mm. Yeah, but
that guy.
I don't know.
Oh, yeah. That was wild.
If there was a.
We were literally leaving Atlantis, like sinking, and then some bitch from 10,000 years in the future.
So horny.
Like, you should have. She was moist, like, when I put her in that refrigerator. It was wild.
But he didn't.
And she was asking me about the ZZPMs. I'm like, no, that's like, it's not a thing.
But
it's
they just, were only within.
You can do whatever you want to. She's like, so I can rotate them like every.
Inside
me. Every couple of thousand years. And she's like, yeah, do it.
Well, I'm assuming they only kind of really seemed to hang out for about 10 minutes before Merlin was out. And then Daniel jumped in the thing and got all the memories. So I guess he knows all that stuff. He knows everything Moros knows now. So he probably, at that point, has those memories of meeting alternate Weir.
And he has memories of watching the security tape of when Weir would wake up and go ham on that ZPM.
But Morris wouldn't have that because he never went back to Atlantis.
No, but he'd have the data.
From Atlantis?
Yeah, they'd send an update and all that, surely.
Oh, you mean Daniel, not Merlin?
No, Merlin. Whoa.
Did you just, like...
I almost knocked
Jedi out. Reflexes that cat. Yep. Oh my god! Well done.
Did you see me the other day? It was so good.
Oh. Reflex.
I was gonna say, yeah, you do a couple more of those, mate. You might want to check. You don't have a child out there.
So did Merlin create those planets? That was the main thing I wanted to kind of find. Did he create the planet or the solar systems?
No, they're like I think he's,
perfect pyramid still after 10,000 years of stellar drift.
Well, even
the DHD had to handle couldn't like.
So we go back to the start of the show, or kind of the film, but like this really the start of the show, and they go, oh, we have to, you know, adjust for stellar drift. That was since that writing had been put on the walls of...
the cartouche in Abydos.
Abydos.
Yeah.
How long had that been?
Like 3,000
years? Yeah, so like nowhere near as long.
Yeah.
And we had to adjust for that.
Yeah.
Because 3,000 was long enough, but 10,000 were like, that's still perfect.
That's because we didn't have a DHD.
Yes.
Whereas the DHDs automatically.
But what we're saying is it shouldn't be a perfect tetrahedron pyramid. It should have moved.
Correct.
Yeah. What I'm saying.
I don't think he created it.
It's science.
In my mind, he.
Well, not him, but the ancients.
No, I think it was completely Merlin as an ascended ancient. I think using his knowledge, he went. Oh, he's stumbled. He's like, where can I hide this? Oh, I found this cool rock. Like in the same way we'd be going on a hike and go, I found this cool rock formation. I'm going to hide something in the middle of it. He's like, oh, I found this cool planet formation. I'm going to put humans on these planets where I can put stargates. And I'm going to hide the fact that I'm doing something by putting humans on there. And then I'm going to hide my thing right in the middle of it. And then, yeah, going back to what we talked about.
Was it in the middle, though? Because I thought it was just using the symbols of each of those gates. which I mean, I assume it was in within the region.
It's within that triangle, but yeah,
or within the connect. It was the idea of it was using the same glyphs as each of the each of those addresses. It was kind of weirdly explained.
It goes back to that,
and then because Carter's expecting hundreds of permutations, and there's only one. It's like that is by design.
Yeah. Mm. Well, no, I think
because if she thought there was going to be more than one, and there was only one, it's like, dude, she's smarter enough to know the odds of that.
Mm.
Yeah. Just quickly.
But that's why they went.
No, I get it. But what I'm saying is, it's by design. Is that they're in that location.
I think the four stargates making the tetrahedron were by design. Merlin did that. I don't think he moved planets into a position to make it happen.
Yeah.
But I think he discovered that cool formation and went, that will be a cool place for me to hide something in the universe. Because you have to remember, he's hiding his construction of the Sun Graal from the other ancients.
That's what I mean, though. Like, I just like the idea. I'm not an astrophysicist, so maybe there are millions of star constellations that can form a perfect pyramid.
I guess if you have to think about those actual points, I wouldn't consider it the planet. I would consider it the star the planet orbits.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah. So I think there'd probably be a little bit less drift there than... Because you've got to remember, it hasn't been 10,000 years. It's only been since medieval times, really. So it's been less time since ancient Egypt. Mm. It's been like post-JC.
Yeah.
So maybe it's only been a 1,500 years or something like that since it's got to be...
Yeah, whenever King Arthur was around. The question, if you guys reckoned it was made by a Merlin or an alien or an ancient, or was it just by chance?
Hmm.
Like Maddie says, rock formation.
Yeah, I think the planet formation was by chance, and then Merlin took advantage of it and used it to his benefit and put...
I just found the wording of Daniel's line, perfect pyramid. I was like, you shouldn't have said perfect.
Yeah.
Like, this is why I've been nitpicking, because it just it delves into something that could be incredible.
It's funny
you jump... You put that in something like created... certain amount of solar systems, say four or five solar systems, and the Sun Graal's in that. That means the history of the Sun Graal is what? Is the Jesus cup, right? Or whatever it is in the
Holy Grail.
Holy Grail. Yeah. That's basically what it is.
Yeah.
So that knowledge went back to Christ. See what I mean?
Yeah.
So in medieval times, Christ was already dead for 1,500 years.
Yeah.
So it had to be before that.
What did?
The Sun Graal.
No, because I think Christmas is a pagan tradition that that Christians stole.
But what is, I don't know what the Holy Grail tradition is.
Well, it's, I mean, you're assuming that the whole story of Merlin and Arthur and Camelot is a real story, not just a fable. Like, you know.
Yeah, because in the show it is.
Yeah.
No, what I'm saying is, like, you had made a good point saying that there was 500 years ago was, like, whatever, medieval times, 13, 14, 1500s.
Yeah.
So that, but the Sun Graal dates back to whatever that Christian religion is.
Right, but the Holy Grail wasn't the Holy Grail while Jesus was alive. It was something that people made up long, long after his death. The Bible wasn't written until hundreds of years after Jesus Christ. If you believe that man just as a human being existed, whether or not he was the Messiah or whatever, the Bible was written hundreds, if not like hundreds of years after Jesus Christ died.
Yeah, well, they couldn't fact check anything.
He had nothing to do with that. So then this fable came around about the Holy Grail being the cup that Jesus drank from at the Last Supper.
That's what it was.
Yeah.
So
according to Indiana Jones.
A documentary called The Last Crusade talks about in 1989.
That's what I'm trying to get at.
Yeah.
Is that, all right, this has huge, deep Christian roots.
But Christians are known for stealing other cultures. When Christianity came in...
Yeah, they're parasites like the Goa'uld.
Exactly.
What was it then?
When Christianity came in, pagan religion was the accepted religion, or ancient Greeks and ancient Roman religions. Yeah. What Christianity did to, you know, insert itself in was take other religions, take other things from them, and incorporate them into Christianity
so you reckon it's older
to
then?
Make it cool. No, I'm saying Christianity came later and stole it.
And they just keep stealing shit along the way.
Correct.
We've always had this, haven't we?
Yep. Yeah.
Big time.
Have you got the, that? We got that too.
The idea...
Penny, you don't have it. What do you mean?
The idea of bringing a tree inside during the winter to preserve it and have it live is a pagan ritual, which became the Christmas tree.
Mm. Yep. Of course. Yeah. So what about the Easter bunny?
That guy's just a, that guy's just a slut. It's funny that you, that was all the stuff that you clicked on, because the thing that I clicked on that we never got an answer for in this episode is what the fuck was Daryl?
The dragon?
Yeah.
Yeah, what was
he, it? He wasn't a hologram. It's confirmed he's not a hologram.
Yeah, what was he?
We threw C4 down his throat. It just kind of puffed out of him.
Yeah, he's a dragon. Puff, the magic dragon.
Yeah.
Good one, Tilk.
But then we
Tilk shouldn't have said that.
We said his name.
Perhaps Puff.
Well, turns out Daryl the dragon
perhaps
reference.
Perhaps Cumberbatch.
Did you know this? So the Captain and Tennille, you know, love will keep us together. Mm. Think of me. The captain from the Captain and Tennille, his real name is Daryl Dragon. That was the joke.
Stop it.
Who the fuck is born with the badass name of Daryl Dragon and decides to go by the Captain and Tennille?
Yeah, that's not good.
Ridiculous. But anyway, back to this dragon.
Daryl Dragon, he would have crushed.
Absolutely. Really?
His parents did half the work.
Yeah, exactly. Well, they did all the work, really.
Yeah.
But yeah, so then Daniel runs out, says Gunnus Lal, which is Morgan Le Fay's ancient name,
yeah,
and it just blips into oblivion.
Oh, yeah.
So
is it like a...
Was it a solid hologram? Like, is it a hologram with mass? Like, what?
Like an ancient-made hologram.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, we've dealt with holograms before. I mean, the Merlin we encountered in the Avalon cave was a hologram.
Yeah. Mm.
The sword...
Thor's hammer.
The sword and the Black Knight were both holograms.
The sword wasn't. The one that the lady girl...
But
them.
No, I'm talking about Avalon. I'm not talking about Camelot. I'm talking about Avalon, the original in the cave. In Glastonbury. I can't remember with that one. But obviously when Cam was fighting the knight, who was a hologram, it connected and stuff like that. But then when he threw the sword to Teal'c and Teal'c attacked the Black Knight, it went straight through. So maybe the dragon was just a hologram like that can be solid or not solid.
They should have made it a hologram.
Yeah.
Because then you can buy in that, oh yeah, that's why we used to think dragons existed. But also, on the other hand, Carter was like, no way. I'm like, dude, what? You've seen f***ing ETs, you've seen people coming back from the dead, you've seen the craziest shit, you've seen f***ing...
Been to other realities, met 40 versions of yourself.
Yeah, and you don't think, you've seen f***ing plant people root in the ground, like it's all this shit. All this shit, and you can't believe in a dragon on a different planet? It's not Earth.
Well, that's because...
There was dinosaurs here. Imagine if there was a dinosaur with wings. There was. It's called a pterodactyl.
That's because Carter has prudence, but she doesn't have faith.
In the original version, I think I had more virtues, and then we had to sort of trim them down. And I wanted each of the characters to convey a different virtue. And in this case, it would be Carter, who I don't remember which virtue, maybe prudence, mm-hmm. I think at this point, and basically just show her ingenuity, or in this case, actually just, you know, what would be the simple solution? I mean, you don't have technology, and chances are that in Arthur's time, he wouldn't have had the technology. How would you get around it? And she decides to pick up the rock and throw it, and she finds her way out of the maze doing this. Of course, I noted that on the day, the actor said, well, wouldn't it just be easier to pick up a handful of sand and throw it and create kind of a tunnel? And truly it would, but it would probably have blown the budget of the episode. So I kind of thought the rocks were cool enough.
The rock was cool enough, but I thought of this sand immediately when she threw the rock.
Yeah, because you're gonna run out of rocks.
It's like, well, yeah, and also you're... if you make one little mistake, fuck it. Yeah.
The also, thing was, they could have just fired a spray of P90 fire. I mean, they would have killed all the people that were in there probably. But, you know, they were all dead
eventually,
anyway.
Eventually.
Yeah.
Imagine when they come through that field, it's like 20,000 years later.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Their whole
yeah.
family's dead. All the trees around them are dead.
But how
like,
does...
It's like, what the... first of all, we're just talking about this scene, though, the maze scene. Carter goes, oh, how do we find our way back? It's like, wouldn't you... I would have been dragging my feet.
Yeah.
The entire time. You ever read Hansel and
Maybe the six people following Carter could have handled that and done something while Carter was making sure they don't fall into a temporal field.
Well, it's like we could follow our footsteps. They're like two by two and they're really close together. Yeah, we could do that.
But I do feel like at the end of the first episode, I think I didn't like. I liked the force field bowels caught in. I liked the time dilation.
Yeah, it was like old school SG-1.
Once they got into the cave and they had to rush and solve those riddles. That kind of bummed me out. I wish we'd taken more time with that. So based on what he was saying in that commentary, how would you guys have felt if maybe we had a little less dragon and maybe they'd spaced it out, maybe they did three in the first episode and the final two in the next episode before then all the Merlin stuff happened, that, you know, prudence, wisdom, charity, kindness, and faith were, like, split up between the five members of SG-1 and, like, you know, one of them had to solve it. Would it have felt a little bit too cheesy that it's like, oh, only SG-1 can solve it because each one of them has the thing that's needed? Or would it have been cool to see each SG-1 member flex a little bit?
With our powers combined.
Yeah. Full Voltron.
I didn't make that connection.
Well, that's what the commentary was saying. That was the initial idea.
Right.
Was that it was going to be, there was going to be, you know, five virtues, five SG-1 members.
Yeah, and I don't...
You know, Carter showed prudence in the time dilation.
Once they give me a list, I find it very boring. All right, we have to go through this one.
And yeah.
Because I basically know there's going to be five puzzles. And I know that Teal'c's already done his, so fuck it.
Yeah,
it's Carter now, whatever. And I lose interest immediately. That's why I couldn't watch Arrow, because he had a list.
Got a list.
And they fed like the first season and a half.
Yeah, first two.
And then it had its all plenty of other problems to deal with.
You just avoid the Blacklist, which is 10 seasons of that.
Yeah. I mean, I like the show, but
of course he's going to avoid it. It's got black in the name.
Jesus. great call.
And I guess the only thing to keep in mind for next week or the week after is, Daniel's gone again. Adria's... Got him. Got him.
I think
it was weird that it left on a cliffhanger. Double parter.
It's the thing that I spoke about a while ago when Daniel went missing for a couple of episodes, is now he's due his other two episodes off. So that's why they had to do this, is because Daniel had to take another 2 weeks off as part of his contract.
It's in my contract.
Yeah.
This is what I was saying when you were gone, Brendan, about I don't even know which episode I must have... been ready to watch. Maybe it was Company of Thieves, actually. Yeah, I think it was. And I inserted the wrong DVD. Definitely not the wrong file.
It's not the first time you've inserted it.
So I've pressed play on what I thought was Company of Thieves, because that's what the DVD told me that it was. And it starts with, I don't know, Carter in a lab or something on the base, and maybe Mitchell walks in or something like, oh, any news about Daniel? Is he still missing? You know, whatever they say. And I'm like, what the fuck? Have I missed this? Fast forward through to the title and like, oh, this is not Company of Thieves, and I've kind of ruined this for myself. So I've seen it, but don't remember anything of it. So come the end of the quest when he's got all these, he's been leveled up, and then you know, go, I'll be right behind you. And I'm like, it's what everyone says before they don't immediately go right behind them.
I feel like we've probably skipped so much of this shit, but I like the ancient depository, how he had a kind of a different one with the handles.
Yeah, that he could create stuff with as well.
I wonder if there's a bunch of them around.
Yeah, probably. Well, I guess there had to be because there was multiples because they were jumping planets.
Yeah, actually, I didn't get that, to be honest. Like, was his house moving?
That's what,
I know.
He has that many houses on different planets.
That are exactly the same. Identical. Like, the fact that we saw them sort of phase a little bit. And then it's like, oh shit, Merlin's gone.
I was like, I thought the planet was a ship because they use that same effect when they jump out of hyperspace.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. No, my
prepare yourself for extreme deceleration.
My interpretation is because they said it was via the gate. So the gate dialed, all of the people were beamed through the event horizon to a new planet that was identical inside the cave but had different ecosystems outside. But obviously they're all connected by Bluetooth so that that Daniel / Merlin could continue his work. Because obviously he was creating part of it on this planet and then I have to go to the next planet.
Oh, is that why he couldn't touch it, or was that just another, he never would if they're on the right planet?
No, like, the Sangreal never existed. Because if the Sangreal...
Oh, he destroyed it. Morgan destroyed it but left it in Merlin's brain.
Yeah, correct. Because if the Sangreal existed, the ancients would step in.
Interesting.
Yeah.
And that's, okay. I think, with the when you were saying before about Baal, why did he need a nut bar? You know, a little protein bar after 3 days. I didn't know whether to feel somewhat similar about when they were on the snow planet. And he's out there going, it is crazy to think that I have to work like this. You know, I need to go inside and these conditions, I'm feeling cold. We go inside and warm up a little bit. I can't feel my hands.
Come on, man.
And it's like, really? Like,
he's just a guy at this point.
I know you're just a guy, like, but even like,
yeah, that's what I mean. They water him down.
They give him sustenance or something.
He's
and
such
they,
a good bad guy.
And heal them. We're like, would, am I stretching by assuming you wouldn't feel the temperature shift the exact same way that these humans are? Like, is it too much to expect that you would just sit there going, I'm personally fine with this?
Yeah, and he would be.
Yeah.
Because how many times did Teal'c say, my symbiote helped me through that?
Yeah, exactly.
Like, so many times.
Yeah.
And he only had a baby Primto that wasn't even implanted. He just sat in his belly.
Yeah.
Not a full
and he didn't like it, didn't want it in there. He knew that he needed it, whereas, you know, obviously Baal is that, so he wants it. He is.
Given that you guys aren't the biggest Vala fans, how did you feel about the hairdryer moment?
The hair. Where he snatches the hair.
When everyone had to put something into the
I didn't mind that.
No, I like that sort of shit. Like,
apparently that was a longer bit. Apparently they did a couple of takes and stuff, but it's like she put a hair straightener in. They went, no, I took the hair straightener out and put like a stuffed giraffe in there. Went, no. And then Daniel took the hairdryer off her and threw it in.
It's just like, it's like, okay, it's dumb because it's, why would she have it? But it's even beyond why would she have it, because they're going to a planet where it needs to be plugged into power. Like, just so
but
many
also,
like tiny else, little levels along like that.
What else would Vala pack? You know
yeah,
what
exactly.
I mean?
Yeah,
exactly.
Like,
that's just the thing. He's like, Teal'c's backpack, we know, is full of candles and grapes.
But blue what jello.
I'm pretty sure they didn't even, like, did she even have a zat? I don't even think they let her have a weapon.
Probably not. Yeah, she seemed to get around pretty well.
She used to have a zat, but they took it off.
It's weird how I'm watching, I don't know what peak or valley we hit last couple of episodes where I don't even three SG-1 episodes ago, I might be watching this going, ah, oh, Vala, God, she pisses me off. I'm waiting for her to piss me off. Now, I didn't feel that in this quest episode double at all. I don't know whether we hit something in her little memory loss episode a couple back, or Company of Thieves, where maybe we hit a high or a low, something in there that's almost like cleansed it a little bit. Yeah. And now I'm just watching her as, well, she's established.
Yeah.
You know, she's there.
She does have
she
a lot
is
of
who she is.
Fantastic moments, but sometimes she just goes a little OTT.
Yeah, I'm sure there'll be some to come, but I feel like even this double, like where we had more time in one particular story, they still didn't allow her to be completely stupid or to do something entirely selfish or to make a stupid decision, whatever it might have been. I don't know. But
I think everyone has their own like Vala filter. It's like they can take it up to a certain point. Anything over that is like, oh, she's stupid. And it's like everyone's level is different.
Yeah.
Yeah. Couple of little trivia things so I don't get in trouble for it. No general laundry in this episode.
Yeah.
Good.
Much like Brendan didn't want Weir in last week's episode.
Yeah.
The whole thing at the start with Marina Baccarin with Adria's eyes changing colour.
Oh, it's so hot.
With her,
I mean, her eyes.
Yeah. With her eyes not being yellow or red anymore, it's because Marina Baccarin couldn't wear the contacts while they were outside. Oh. When she wore them in previous episodes that she was in, it was obviously on set. They were out on location for this with all the dust and shit. She couldn't. They aggravated her eyes.
Premium.
So they
unreal.
They got rid of those.
That's ridiculous.
And on a scale of one,
but at least her.
Stop it.
At least she called it a dial. She calls it a dial device. The DHD. There is no gobbled name for it.
Oh, crush a bunch of brother, bro.
Yeah. You know what I mean?
Fair call.
Also her tits.
On a scale of 1 to 10, how much do you all think?
10.
Daniel
plump. Daniel, sorry, what?
I should have just let Mitch wrap it up. On a scale of 1 to 10.
We get too far into that territory. Mate. We're living in a post-Sydney Sweeney and SNL world, mate. Yeah. Like, my algorithms have been stuffed the last couple of weeks. I'll watch one video. One video.
Sydney Sweeney and Renee Rapp. That's what I'm waiting for, is the combination of that.
Yeah.
On a scale of 1 to 10, how hard do you think Daniel cried when all those books got burnt?
Yeah. Yeah, I was surprised he stood there and watched
it. Right. He would have been crying into his cornflakes.
Yeah.
Yeah, he wouldn't have had to borrow
that. Yeah, that was... I even found that a bit rough. Mm. It's like, come on, mate. I was going to read them.
So, okay, with Old Mate, was it as simple as... old mate librarian who had the book was him up until the moment where he bust through the door.
Correct.
And was, yeah, so that was that, from then on, it was obviously her.
It was obviously her because after that, I never understood.
It was obviously her from that point because that person never left their site until Correct. Revealed.
But yeah, the first scene prior where he's to like, that, no, it was you can't have the map. It was the
it was oh. always that guy.
And then what did she do to that guy? Yeah.
Killed him.
Where is he?
He's dead
in the walls.
Mm-hmm.
Remember that happened to O'Neill's mate.
Well, and we know from, was it Camelot or Amazon? Remember there was, Avalon, not Amazon. There was that skeleton up on the wall, remember? That we couldn't quite see.
I feel like he would have maybe come around a little bit, you know, for her. Like, they were all like, oh, Merlin, she could have just come down and said some other little magic words.
He would have taken one gander and well, gone, not, do whatever you want.
Yeah.
Yeah. You were reading between the lines of what I was saying. Like, he's like, well, it's not all bad, is it? Death, but, you know.
I did see a creepy fan theory about Star Wars and New Hope the other day.
Star Wars and New Hope.
When the Millennium Falcon lands on the Death Star and those two stormtroopers go up and Luke and Han have to take their things.
Oh, yeah. You're right.
Those blasters weren't set on stun. You didn't hear the stun sound. You heard the blast sound.
Yeah, they're dead.
So as the Millennium Falcon was escaping the Death Star, there were two naked dead stormtroopers on the Millennium Falcon hidden in the...
Yep.
In the deck.
You know what would have been good later is if like... the sequels, you know how like BB-8 and Ray were in that little thing?
They found a skeleton.
They found a couple of skeletons.
Yeah. They get in and hide and it's just like, what the?
Yeah.
Holy shit.
Them spooning.
Yeah.
A couple of spooning skeletons.
Or it's the idea they get to Yavin 4 and they just get off and someone goes in the cleans, just two just naked blokes that have just been like thrashed around while they were trying to escape the
just bones
like this. Yeah, they're all over the place. Like, oh my God, that Chewbacca is hard core. Their limbs actually ripped off. The legends are true.
You know, last thing, I thought when they went to get the Sun Graal and there was that pedestal with the long bridge out to the center of the... I was like, oh, we're going to see giants, aliens again. I was like, so disappointed.
Quetzalcoatl.
Yeah. That's what I, because it was almost everything, because there's so many flashbacks. Even Daniel turned into Omar Dasala and lightning bolted everyone like back in the day.
That was cool. Yeah.
But there's so many flashbacks to old school SG-1. That's why I like this episode.
Yeah,
it's good. I enjoy it.
And boobs.
Right. <It's> so simple.
257.
If only we wore low cut tops, then you'd be a fan.
Probably.
See, he's open minded.
I've definitely changed my mind about it.
247, that is, of Get Into Gate. Wrapping up, like, the two-parter. So we're sort of almost putting a little, we're just pressing pause for a second.
Well, you know I hate the phrase mid-season finale.
Oh.
This was the mid-season finale.
Well, I mean, that makes sense, doesn't it? Yeah, episode 11. Yeah,
it was 4
yeah.
months between the quest.
Bullshit.
The quest part one was September of 2006. The quest part two was January of 2007.
Oh, my. I mean, we would have never had
that
problem.
As if you would remember it.
Right.
In Australia,
that horrible
though,
dragon.
We would have got it in like August, and then the next weekend we would have got episode 12, Line in the Sand. We would have had no wait.
Pop it on right away, thanks.
We just had to wait 8 months to get anything.
Get on your cobber.
So our next episodes would technically be the two-parter mid-season finale for Atlantis, the return parts 1 and 2. So we might pause in between because I think we're due to empty the mailbag.
Christ, it actually feels like a long time.
It's been a
time.
While. Because we're doing double seasons, and normally we just empty the mailbag once a season.
Yep.
Technically, at this point, we've done 20 episodes since our last rank.
Yeah.
So I think it's time to empty the mailbag.
So
we might do that next week.
Hey, stick around, guys, too. It will be good.
Oh.
Oh, obviously.
What a
hook. I mean, think about Phantoms last week.
What a hook.
Phantoms, terrible
episode.
If
you guys wrote good shit, otherwise it's going
to
be crap.
Yeah, it's up to you guys. So.
Yeah, if the mailbag sucks, it's all on you.
Yeah.
That's a great point. I love that.
Guilt-free on our end, guys.
Listen, step your game up, guys.
I'm going to start swinging my arms.
A lot of vanilla
hit,
in the
it's
in
your
the email.
Own fault.
A lot of vanilla.
Get into geek. Get into gate. Get into gate, Stargate podcast. Get into it now before it's too late.